Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction on News Talk 1310 WIPA. Have a question? Email it to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Now, here's your host, Sean Preble, on News Talk 1310 WIPA.
Show brought to you by Edge Construction right here, 1310 WIBA. Don't forget, you can learn more about Edge Construction online, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. All one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. A great resource also, not only to learn a bit more about Edge Construction, they've also got fantastic links to their Pinterest, to their house, to their Facebook page as well, all on that website, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Also, make sure you check back often. They are very active on their Facebook page, keeping things updated, newest projects, and then, of course, links to previous projects as well, all at edgeconstructioncompany.com. And the telephone number, 636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. Mike, how you doing this morning?
Great, Sean.
It's always good to see you, and we are going to be talking about biggest problems that I run into when it comes to renovating an old house.
There are no problems when you're renovating an old house.
No
surprises.
I love when we talk about some of these little surprises, and I know we've talked about some of the stuff you've run across in the past, but every job, regardless of the age of the home, every job has its unique challenges, and I've got to assume too that's part of the rewarding nature of the business that you do is really facing some of those challenges and finding the best solutions for something that's going to last a lifetime.
Well, and on the old houses, I know we've talked a lot about we spend maybe a 25% or a third of our time downtown working on some of the old smaller houses, and there that design portion of the project, you know, that upfront portion, we spend so much time trying to figure out some kind of a workable plan to modernize this house. And you know, you're taking a Model A and trying to put new brakes in it, new motor. It's kind of like that, because we have this saying in an old house that people will say, well, is this a load-bearing wall? I said, well, probably. I mean, like, almost everything's load-bearing in an old house. They weren't built strategically like they are now, where you might have had a center beam. It's a little bit like that, some of them are, but a lot of times they brought load down in different places, and you look in basements over there, and there's posts all over sometimes, and it means there's load getting carried in different ways. So it's not just rearranging non-load-bearing interior walls or walls that are easy to beam. We've got to figure out sometimes how to do that and then engineer it so that it can work out in the design also.
Are there something too to be said with some of these older homes, and as we talk and kind of break down some of the different areas and things that you encounter, is the materials that were used? I know we'll talk a bit about some of the updating some of those materials, but the materials that were used as well don't seem to be, I think in some cases can be better, but a lot of them seem to be challenging in that they, maybe it's just they're older or just when they were originally designed weren't quite as tolerant to, you know, things like flex and other types of things. I mean, have we gotten better with materials, whether it's engineering those materials or making use of different types of materials just in kind of the bones of construction?
You know, I think when we first started working on old houses a bunch of years ago, the material, especially the stuff you see, trim materials, the woodwork that you see, it was really a challenge to recreate some of that. And now we sort of do that without thinking about it. And I think part of it is we just got used to sourcing modern materials that we knew could work, or a lot of times we get raw stuff in and our guys have gotten really good at matching finish. And that's really what it's about. You know, you take a 100-year-old chunk of oak and it's got a color to it and a flavor to it that is just hard to replicate. But there are tricks to it, and there's things that we've learned how to do to make that work out. I think that some of the challenges might be just in how it was constructed. You know, when when you, everything was lath and plaster. The plaster made everything kind of straight. Like you'd have, now we have non-metal lumber sizes. So a 2x4 is 1.5 by 3.5, and it's pretty much always like that. It doesn't start off that way, but by the time they run it through the kiln and dry it out, it dries down to that spot. Some of that rough sawn lumber that was used in the past, it might have been 4 inches, might have been 4 1/8, 3 7/8, could have some variance, but you didn't notice because it had lath and plaster over the tub. So there's a challenge too there, as long as I'm talking about it. Lath and plaster usually adds up to 5/8 or 3/4 inch thick versus drywall. You know, we're going in with 1/2 inch drywall, so you need to figure out all those challenges and have a way to make it work out and modernize it.
Did some of these sawmills also have different sizing, maybe not quite as universal as it used to be, or am I off on that?
Well, I think it's more in the, originally probably more, there wasn't as much standard stuff. Generally, if you open up a 100-year-old house on downtown on Williamson Street or Mifflin or in one of the other neighborhoods, you know, or the Arboretum, you're going to find pretty much the same thing. It's not going to change a whole lot. So that part's helpful. So I don't know if it was regionalized. Maybe if we go over to Milwaukee, we're going to find some different things that we wouldn't see here in Madison.
Really good stuff. Talking this morning with Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction, online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. And their telephone number is 636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. As we talk about some of the challenges faced when it comes to remodeling older homes, you see it all as far as renovations. Some that may have been done well, some that were not done well, some that had been done maybe partially completed or done individually from the rest of a space. You tend to encounter all sorts of different renovation, and not all of it, as mentioned, not all of it's been perfectly done over the years, has it?
No. So, oh boy. You know, there's different things going on here. So when we hired Dale, our master electrician, I thought I knew construction. Then all of a sudden, Dale's bringing me all this stuff. Well, okay, we can get our job. We were contracted to do the kitchen or a bath or some modifications somewhere in the house, and we can upgrade electrically to make this work. But I found a whole bunch of other problems. So I soon started saying, the most surprises are probably in electrical. And so, have you ever put an outlet in, you know, like...
Swapped out taken an old one out and put a new one in?
Or maybe added one someplace.
I've never done that.
You're
owning
up to it anyway.
Is my insurance company listening? I don't think I have, no, but...
Good. Yeah. I mean, that's good. There are plenty of capable people that are probably going, hey, you're talking about me here. But in the lifespan of a house, there's a lot of 80-year-old, 100-year-old houses in Dane County. There's been a lot of varying degrees of electricians that sometimes quotation mark worked on these. Maybe it was dad or a brother-in-law or somebody that we can blame now. But, you know, electrically, houses need to be looked at in a comprehensive way now. We figure out loads on a circuit, and we don't want to overload that, or you're going to be tripping breakers, and you probably have an inspector mad at you and things like that. Now you've got things like arc fault and GFI, and we've talked a little bit about those in past shows. All that's got to be taken into account. I am so grateful to have Dale, because not that we had great electricians that worked for us in the past before we had Dale. I think Dale's been with us 4 or 5 years. But I don't remember him coming up to me and saying, hey, you know, we found these other issues that we feel should be addressed, whereas Dale's not shy and saying, hey, this is torn apart. Now's the time to fix it. Can at least talk to the homeowners and see what they want to do. Yes, we could probably put it back together, but most people want to fix things right, especially electrically. I think there's a little bit of fear factor when you're thinking, well, I don't want to Band-Aid this problem.
Has something changed too with electrical, which is kind of the demands? Is it seems like what used to pass for, I think, for maybe some homeowners even 20 years ago, passed for them as it's good enough, not good enough any longer, is it?
No, and if you look at how many things we're powering up and charging, and how many computers are in your house, how many even just fans and things like that, how much light now we're demanding, even with LED, it doesn't draw much power, but we are adding a lot of fixtures. We're adding a lot of light. We're trying to daylight just about every room now and be able to control it. There's a customer we did, a homeowner that we did. We did their kitchen a few years ago. We knew they had knob and tube wiring throughout the house, and we actually priced it before we started the kitchen project. Sure enough, about halfway through the kitchen remodel, the upstairs, the wire heading upstairs, and I'll explain this, but the wiring heading upstairs cooked off somewhere. It's impossible to find it. We told them this could happen at some point in the future anyways. And I went upstairs to look at what kind of load was on this wire. And this is one circuit, one wire running in a loop around their upstairs. That's knob and tube. When it was originally put in, it probably had a light bulb in each room, maybe one in the hallway. That's a smaller house, three-bedroom house upstairs, tiny rooms. Maybe an outlet in each room. And now each room had a window air conditioner. Each room had computers. They had fans running. They had ceiling fans. They had lights everywhere.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so you're going, wow, this is a lot on a 20-amp breaker or 15-amp breaker. But so it was good that we did redo that house at the time. But, yeah, the rooms had more outlets in it now, but nobody's going to convince me that they had them in 1940, you know, yes. 50, when this house was built. So somebody at some point tacked onto that knob and tube and added more outlets.
What about things like plumbing as well? As you mentioned, of course, obviously electrical being one of those things where there have been some bad updates and bad renovation. What about to plumbing? It seems like that seems to be one of those areas that comes up quite a bit as well.
It does. Plumbing is not as critical. Your house might not burn down if you have a leak, right?
Yeah.
but now we are seeing kind of plumbing that I would say a reputable plumber probably didn't do. So I'm assuming it's homeowners. I don't think anybody maliciously is doing things or on purpose cutting corners, but maybe they just don't know any better, right? So we've talked about galvanized pipe, and there's reasons that we peel that out when we get a chance to. It needs to come out. The capacity's low, usually. It gets kind of gunked up on the inside just by the nature of it, and cleans things up, and we can convert that to a PEX-type pipe. That's the blue and red, flexible, looks like a hose, but it's very stiff. We had a remodel that just finished up maybe a month ago. It's kitchen and a bunch of other stuff, pretty much a lower level and main floor remodel. And they had, I think, four different types of plumbing pipe that we could see in the basement. So it went like, started off with copper off the hot water heater, then went to galvanized for a while, and then it went to PVC, and then it actually went to PEX. And so when we're in there doing that, we're like, okay, what we really should do is just clean this up. We're moving things around anyways. Run PEX the whole way. You're eliminating all these elbows. And I know you know what we're talking about, but that to me makes a lot of sense. You got a lot less connection points, a lot less chances for things to go wrong. And I don't know what the warranty is on PEX. It's going to be long. It's going to be there long after we are.
And when you mentioned, you know, different types of, you know, with piping and different types of materials being used, you're literally getting the worst of everything when you're doing it that way. I mean, it's not just like, oh, we've got this one issue like with certain metals or PVC. You're literally adding the issue about each one of those different types of pipe into one system. I mean, you're really not doing yourself any favors, are you?
You are. Yeah. You're not. But these people had water, you know, so they went, you know, what's the big deal? It's still working.
Yeah. Has PEX been a game changer for...
Well, so we talk about PEX. Mm-hmm. PEX is a brand name. Mm-hmm. You know this. So if you go to one of the big box stores and see in the red and blue, somewhat flexible, it's pretty stiff stuff, but you can still bend it. That's what we're talking about. My first experience with PEX was... In geothermal heating, mm-hmm. because we did a system probably 20 years ago on a remodel, dug trenches, laid down PEX tubing. You have to have so many miles. I don't jokingly say miles. It's yards, feet, whatever. It's hundreds for sure. Lay that down in there, and then they run the glycol through it and have a heat exchanger. But at that time, PEX was kind of the first main manufacturer, and I always joke because they, when it first came out, they claimed a 100-year warranty, and I went, they're just saying it's never going to wear out. Because none of us are going to be here in 100 years to check.
Does it? And is it, since you mentioned it's flexible, it's still more rigid than, as you mentioned, like
it's
a garden.
It's very rigid, but you can make it, you know, go through a house without, mostly without connections.
I was going to wonder, is it easier to kind of, because I think of, and not that electricians have anything easy, but at least with like, you know, when you're running coax, you can, you know, put a lead, you know, draw it through.
Oh, yeah.
Can you do
yeah.
the same thing with PEX? Can PEX be kind of weaved through those?
Can you fish it?
Yeah, fish like it. Wire? That's a term I'm thinking of.
No, okay. it would be real tough to do okay. that. But there are ways to get it through. I mean, like any other plumbing pipe is extremely rigid, so it is more flexible than that.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not like a garden hose flexible. It's pretty stiff. Yeah,
it's really great to hear too some of these great improvements, as well as you know, as you're doing the renovations and uncovering some of these nightmares and really bringing things up, not only up to code, but of course making it so they're going to work very well, function well for a very, very long time. Talking this morning with Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction. Of course, they bring you the Home Remodeling Show right here on 1310 WIBA. If you haven't been to the website, check them out online, edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great resource to learn more about Edge Construction. Also links to House, Facebook, Pinterest, as well as social media, things like Instagram and stuff, all on the Facebook or on the Edge Construction Company page.com. And of course, their telephone number 636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. We'll talk more about some of those big problems you may run into when renovating an old house. We'll do that next as the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues right here, 1310 WIBA.
The Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues now on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction right here on 1310 WIBA. Don't forget, you can learn more about Edge Construction online, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great resource to learn more about them. Also links to their house, Facebook, and Pinterest, all at edgeconstructioncompany.com. Their telephone number is 636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. Talking this morning with Mike Tuig about some of the problems that can come up when it comes to remodeling older homes. And I think obviously one of the big things is the layout of older homes. Lifestyles have changed. We've realized things like kitchens are a pretty important part of the house, a social part of the house as well. And there is a balance, obviously. If you've got certain, I think of like a Victorian home. I don't know, do people ever convert? I hope they don't. Do they convert like open concept in a Victorian, or do they stick with kind of the late general layout there? Okay, good. Because I'm like, man. But like, if you've got some of those, you
well,
know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say.
Yeah, the exceptions.
And I thought you were going to bring up like, does anybody have a parlor? Like,
yeah.
It's like, Petticoat Junction, right?
Yeah.
The parlor. The trick is to update and not lose the elements that you fell in love with
yeah.
when you pulled up to the beautiful Victorian house. So you could have these great, big, beautiful Victorian houses, and they were opulent, right? They're built at a time when we're going to show off the money and right before the practical Frank Lloyd Wright and Gustav Stickley with Craftsman and Prairie Style, where everything had to have a purpose. They had rooms that were a parlor. What was a parlor for, Sean? I don't know.
Like say hello to somebody when they
like the it's like the waiting room at the yeah. doctor's office. We're going to go there first, and then we're going to go to the living room.
Yeah.
We'll see if you make it past the parlor.
Yes.
So, you don't have daughters. If you had daughters, you go like, okay, we'll if you get good. Past the parlor.
Yeah.
But anyways, so if you're remodeling, you could have this huge Victorian, beautiful painted lady house with a 10 by 10 kitchen stuck in the back corner with no windows and like one way out. It literally was like that. That was not a common space. We wanted to hide the spot where the work took place, right? Now, if you're remodeling that kind of a house, nobody wants that. So there's that design, especially that first floor design where the common spaces are, the spaces where friends and family come and see. that has to be looked at as a whole. You can't just go, well, we'll just take the, we'll just do a kitchen remodel and open up a wall. Well, you can do that, but I think you need to figure out how that's going to work with the rest of that space.
What about like things like ranch homes and some of those split levels as well that are, you know, that are a bit older and, you know, think some of that layout's kind of hasn't timed, it hasn't really lasted time-wise, style-wise. You see a lot of people then really talking open concept and removing walls and really opening spaces up, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. So those kind of houses probably hit the scene maybe in the 50s.
Hmm.
And whatever the houses we just talked about, those beautiful big Victorians, those were the complete opposite, right? Very utilitarian. People went, you know what? We don't need all this. We want, and they were built for the common person, affordable. When I started in my career, I'd go in to remodel somebody's house, and I'd say, well, we can do your kitchen for $20,000, and the older guy would say, I only paid 12 for this house. Like, well, I'll buy it for 12 right now. But yeah, it was much more utilitarian, and it was a little better. The kitchens were probably still in a back corner and not very big, but the house isn't very big. They weren't built to entertain, that's for sure. And so when you open things up, it changes. When we're in the middle of a fairly extensive ranch remodel right now, I think cabinets are going in next week. Flooring's going in right now. And that was, a 1980s house. Guess what we did, Sean? We opened it up.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, did you do something? Yeah.
No, we took out walls, opened it up, made it more open concept. It was, by 1950s standards, it was wide open. But by today's standards, it was still pretty closed off. And didn't make sense in a lot of ways. So part of that meant opening things up and changing things and rearranging some walls.
Do people really like to, with the kind of that I know that it's the buzzword of open concept, but I think of like being able to be in different parts of the house and still being able to see each other. Like we talk about the kitchen, still being able to be connected with what's going on in the house, or obviously bringing some of that action into the kitchen as well.
Yeah, and the kitchen drives a lot of that, because people are going, you know what, this is where we spend a lot of our time. When friends come over, it's a hub. There's nothing better, or is there anything better than walking in the kitchen when some cooking's going on and kind of sniping some of that food? The new kitchens are definitely made to entertain. The cooking thing is still number one. It's got to make sense for all that.
Mm-hmm.
When we were talking about this open concept thing, I think if you look at it from the reverse, is like, okay, if we're going to have a wall, then there should be a reason for it. You know, if it's fine if there's walls, it's fine if things are not completely open. I don't know if I'm a fan of completely open. Some of the new houses we're building, there are so few walls in the downstairs that there's no way to run heat upstairs. Like, it's really a problem. So I don't know how I feel about that. I think a wall here and there can really help the design. But that's maybe not the trend.
With some of this too, you think of some of those older homes, even I think to a degree, some of those big old Victorians, like things like bedrooms weren't as like some could be, but maybe the master bedroom, but the rest of the rooms, oftentimes bedrooms are quite small. So that can also, as far as a remodel, find space to people wanting bigger rooms, bigger closets, those type of things. Things like additions and other options come into play there, don't they?
Yeah, you see those older big houses, mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, families were much bigger. Now, this is built for like 12 kids, because you're right, they would have... might have a decent master bedroom and then a bunch of small rooms, sometimes with no closets. The storage was pretty minimal back then. So a lot of times you're going, okay, I don't need 8 bedrooms in this upstairs. We can have 3 or 4 and combine it and get a closet in it, fix some of these issues, probably get rid of some plaster and knob and tube wiring while you're up there too. But yeah, change things up to modernize.
And then the one final thing to touch on with some of the outdated layouts, having a bathroom is, I think for most people, completely unacceptable. But apparently there was a time where it was, you know, you had literally one bathroom for the family, and you had guests over. Everybody had the one bathroom. adding a bathroom is definitely definitely something important for those folks, isn't it?
Yeah. Now my kids would be going, hey, wait a minute. They grew up in an old farmhouse. I had one bathroom.
Yeah.
I always kind of liked torturing my kids with that, but that was just my thing. But yeah, now if you're going through a remodel and you've got the space, people are wanting the master suite, especially if the house warrants it. You know, sometimes you're pulling up to a house that was maybe poorly designed, and there are elements of the house that don't fit the picture in your head, right? So if you're pulling up that big old house, you're thinking it warrants having a very nice master suite. That people would expect to see that when they're looking at this house. They would also expect to see another bath for the rest of the family. The kids don't usually get to use the master suite.
Do we see some of those smaller, those bungalow houses? Are you able to get second baths or like that in those?
We are. We try. usually you wouldn't have two baths in a second floor. Mm-hmm. You might have a master bedroom, but it's just a little bit bigger than the other room. It's not really what people would picture. By the way, you know, you mentioned a bungalow. To me, that's probably the most efficient use of space in a house design. I think it was one of the greatest designs ever. Came out of the Craftsman movement, so out in California. They're very efficient. In Madison, the downtown houses we get in that are bungalows usually have one bath, and it's upstairs. So downstairs, you've got a family room type area. You've got a kitchen, maybe a dining area that is going to get co-opted in a remodel and to have some more kitchen cabinets, probably, because the kitchen that is there is real small. We have found inventive ways to sneak a bath into that design. Or we had a remodel last year where it wasn't a bungalow, but it was a similar house downtown. We actually did a little addition on the back. I think it was maybe 8 or 9 by 12 feet long, so 100 feet plus or minus. It got the smallest powder bath that you can have legally, and a place for a washer and dryer. So it gave them a back entrance, a place to sit down when you came in and take the boots off, washer and dryer right there. Now, in a new house, you wouldn't really design it this way. You know, you'd want things to be a little more private, a little more spread out. But it fits in this design perfectly. It's not a sore thumb on this house. Like, it looks like it should have always been there. And it gives them that downstairs powder room, at least, where so many of the houses we work on have maybe an aging homeowner. Their only bath is upstairs, and they're saying, you know, I'm getting along good now, but what if I break a leg, or what if I have some other health issue where it's tough to get upstairs? Now I don't have a bath within reach, so we're trying to solve that problem.
You mentioned something there too with that recent project, which was washer and dryer on the main level. Is for so many years houses were built, and I think even some newer houses occasionally they're still doing this, putting the washer and dryer in the basement, which is.
Anyway, it works, but
you know, you can only haul so many loads up and down those stairs. You go, why did we do it this way? Are we seeing a lot of people with these older homes saying, you know what, as part of my remodel or doing a remodel, to say, let's get this on a main level of the house?
Now, Sean, my mom would say that's a first world problem. She's got a beautiful old house, and she goes down in the basement to do her laundry. But yeah, just joking. For years, I've tried to figure out how to get hers upstairs, and she's like, "Well, I'm fine. You know, don't worry about that." But yeah, it's a lot. It's really a luxury in an old house if you can, in a sensible way, get that up on the first floor, and people do really appreciate that.
How long until we see the European model of having the washing machine in the kitchen, which I always think it's odd, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, but they're much less spoiled than we are.
Yeah.
Kitchens don't look like our kitchens. Yeah. Like, I've been there, saw that little washer-dryer combination,
yeah,
unit, right? It's usually one thing, and I'm thinking, wow, they're not doing a ton of laundry in that little guy. But I think they are a little more efficient living there.
Really good stuff. Talking this morning with Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's all one word, edgeconstructioncompany.com. Learn more about them online and pick up the phone and give them a call. They'd love to talk with you. 636-3343. That number for Edge Construction, 636-EDGE. We'll continue our conversation with Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction, next as the Home Remodeling Show continues right here, 1310 WIBA.
The Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction continues now on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction. Hanging out this morning with Mike Tuig, owner at Edge Construction, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Their telephone number 636-3343. That's 636-EDGE. Talking about some of the problems that you can encounter when it comes to older homes, and some of them part of the remodeling. You know, when you're doing some remodeling and seeing some of the stuff that bad renovations, other things that have been done over the past. Some of it, of course, was just kind of the way things used to be. And that brings us to the F word. Foundations, Mike. We're on a little too early for that. Foundations. And let's talk a bit about some of the issues with older homes, and things were done a little different back then, weren't they?
Yeah, if you get real old,
yeah.
Some boulders and some concrete mushed in there, and we've worked on plenty of those houses that were in no danger of falling. My own house, I had to drill a hole through the foundation last year, and I was unsuccessful because what I found out is that my old farmhouse had, it looked up on top, it looked like it was a 2-foot thick wall, and I had the wherewithal to drill a core through that, actually, believe it or not. Unfortunately, when it got down in there, it was actually 4 feet wide because it widened out down towards the bottom, or for the bottom 2/3 of it underneath the ground, so that you couldn't see. But so I ended up calling our friends at what are they called? Rock drillers, or they did it in like 5 minutes, made me look stupid. So I should have just called them right away. But I do dumb stuff once in a while. But yeah, so that some of the older houses that we work on have a block foundation. I don't know if you've seen those. Mm-hmm. If you came from Milwaukee area, block foundations were very popular in Milwaukee, and I think actually some people still build on block foundations, which I can't believe. It was just a regional thing. They started doing it there and went, what's this concrete stuff? We don't want that. Given a choice, I'd rather have a poured concrete foundation. I think it's the strongest foundation. Sometimes we get into older houses in Madison area, and you can see where they probably the builder just formed it up with 2x12s and nailed them together. You could still actually see wood grain in the concrete, but some of those foundations are real strong. Occasionally they're not. We worked on a foundation, actually twice now, once 5 years ago, once last year. And when the previous homeowner to our customer got ready to sell their house, they knew they had foundation issues and nobody was buying it. They did these carbon fiber postish fixes. I think there were 22 of them around the foundation. I hate to think what it would have cost. Part of me says, wow, maybe you should just jack this house up and pull that old rotten cement block out of there and did a new foundation. But at the very least, when we're doing a lot of work, we'll look for weaknesses in the foundation and the drainage and bring it up and say, you know, we've got the wherewithal we've got somebody that fixes those for us. Should be something that maybe should be addressed.
Finding things like leaks and that stuff fairly common in older homes?
It is. Yeah, it is. And part of that is the last, 4 or 5 years, we've had lots of rain in the Madison area, especially concentrated rain. We've had, there's a stat, I don't know if it's 10 or 12 or 15, 4-plus inch at one time rains. And we all know about that one we had in Middleton. Was that 15 inches in a couple hours or something? That found weaknesses in good foundation. Yeah. It just ran right over the top. But older houses tend not to have drain tile, right? That the drainage that goes around your foundation. And when you're getting a lot of rain, the soil around your foundation reaches a saturation point. So it's basically just waterlogged. And that drainage tile around the bottom of that foundation should be drawing that water down, pulling it out from around your foundation so that so you can handle a couple inches of rain now and again, and it doesn't really affect anything. When you're waterlogged, there's no way to get that rain out. If you've got a crack, it's probably going to be seeping in, so we do see that sometimes. So many of the houses that we work on have already had some of the local companies come in and carve out some concrete around the foundation, put drain tile in, put a sump pump in, and kind of modernize it.
Very good stuff this morning. Talking with Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com, and their telephone number 636-3343. That number, 636-EDGE. Speaking of some of the things that that sometimes can be problematic as far as just kind of their age, windows, and there are obviously a lot of different options when it comes to windows and different types of upgrades and those kind of things, but windows themselves, there have been some advances made, not only in energy efficiency and those type of things, but just functionality as well, haven't there been?
There have. A lot of those old houses have the wood single pane windows that they originally came with. When those are in good working order, they're not a bad window. It's not going to be nearly as efficient as a new window. Plus, they had the weights.
Yes.
Remember those?
Big lead Coke bottles and stuff. In those.
Yeah, just a big lead weight on a string that kind of, it was like a power assist on opening your window. Well, over the years, those ropes that the weights were held on with just rotted off, and a lot of those weights are sitting there. Plus, there's a space there in between your framing, which hopefully has some, in between your wall and your window, that air just kind of moves through and makes it less efficient. So we and a lot of other people in town have replaced a lot of those windows. And on an older house, you might have to worry about the historical thing and make sure that you're not breaking rules there. But my advice is put in a good window. Don't put the cheapest thing in. Find something that's going to last and do the house justice.
And you mentioned, too, some of that cavity between the two windows. If it's got those, had those weights, you want to make sure that issue is addressed as well. Yeah. Speaking of efficiency, you can have fantastic windows, but if you've got a big
right around the corner,
not doing much, is it? Another thing too, you touched on there as well is historic rules. And if you've got one of these very, you know, these some of these more beautiful homes, or just even some of the ones that just kind of are in certain areas of town, you've got to be cautious of that for a couple of reasons. One, it's a beautiful home; you don't want to change it up too much, but also, there could be some restrictions on some of what you can do as well, can't there?
There are. It's usually not by home, it's by neighborhood. So there are neighborhoods downtown that between the lakes and up off like that Monroe Street area, there's historic neighborhoods that are subject to different rules. So if you're going to change anything on the outside, from the color to the porch to the windows, you're putting new windows in, they want to be able to approve that stuff. And they're very reasonable. Most people don't want to ruin the look of the house by putting a product in that wouldn't fit. So the powers that be realize that if you've got good intentions and are able to fill out paperwork, it's not that big a hassle. But you don't want to get caught by one of your neighbors, probably, turning you in, not having gone through the process, make sure. So if I've got an old house and I'm downtown, I'm going to at least call zoning and see if I'm subject to any other rules.
He is Mike Tuig, owner of Edge Construction, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. That's edgeconstructioncompany.com. Their telephone number is 636-3343. That number 636-EDGE. We'll wrap things up with Mike next as the Home Remodeling Show, brought to you by Edge Construction, continues right here on 1310 WIBA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Home Remodeling Show with Edge Construction. Email your questions to edgeconstructionradio@gmail.com. Once again, here's Sean Preble on News Talk 1310 WIBA.
This is the Home Remodeling Show brought to you by Edge Construction, the website edgeconstructioncompany.com. Great resource to learn more about Edge Construction. Also links to Facebook, Houzz, Pinterest, really good stuff there at edgeconstructioncompany.com. If you're thinking about doing some remodeling, they'd love to talk with you at Edge Construction. The telephone number is 636-3343. That number is 636-EDGE. Before we head out this this beautiful Saturday morning, Mike, real quick, because we've been talking this morning about renovating older homes. You guys do a lot of renovations, and I know the Isthmus has come up a couple of times, but on a lot of these, a variety of different designs, different styles, but you guys do a lot of renovations on older homes here in Madison, and there is something gained from experience having seen a lot of different variations. I think you've said in the past that you're convinced that there might have been at least one cabinet maker that probably did a majority of the cabinets down on the Isthmus. You see this stuff a lot, don't you?
We do it, and some of it's very cool work, and it should be preserved. Unfortunately, it's just very hard to fit some of that stuff in the new design. It does help us, like any job, I guess, the more experience you have at it, the less surprises they are. So what we're really trying not to have is that TV moment where they go, ooh, we found something in the wall. We don't do that anyways, but part of why we're able to do that successfully and not have those surprises is just the amount of houses that we've worked on, and you sort of get I think that working on old houses takes a special breed.
Yeah.
Luckily, we've got a bunch of those people that don't mind it.
Does it help too with you know some of the having been in Madison and Dane County as long as you have, knowing, for example, if you're trying to replicate a certain profile and those type of things, either having it on hand or knowing where to go to get that piece made in order to make it fit exactly in with the house that as it was built.
It does. You know, unfortunately, the knowing where to go to get it made is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
So we find ourselves, that's a lot of what our shop gets used for is trying to replicate things that we can't buy anymore. So if you know somebody that's going to start a shop to replicate old trim, I want the number.
Yeah.
because it's hard. And there are some amazingly cool profiles that probably were just made here, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't like something that was factory made. Somebody started making it, and homeowners thought it was cool, and builders thought it was nice, and ended up in houses. And you just can't always find that stuff.
Got that unique home. You've got that older home. You've got that house saying, you know what, been thinking about doing some remodeling, maybe seeing some stuff online at edgeconstructioncompany.com or their Facebook or Pinterest or Houzz page. Definitely make sure you pick up the phone and give the team at Edge Construction a call. They'd love to help you out. They'd love to get to know you. All you got to do is give them a call. Telephone number 636-3343 for Edge Construction. Again, that number 636-3343. That's 636-EDGE. And, of course, Edge Construction brings you the Home Remodeling Show right here, 1310 WIBA.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.